Welcome to Fresnolandia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom.
We have a grab bag episode this week. Last week, we took a week off. You guys heard the episode conversation I did with Dr. Oliver Rosales, Bakersfield College professor that looked at the history of civil rights. And this week, we've got to cover a lot because we had a week off and a bunch of stuff happened. We have investigative reporter and assistant editor Omar Rashad with us today to talk about a couple different things. We thought we would start with the big news this week. An ex-Fresno Arts Council employee is under investigation for embezzling $1.5 million, and this is according to city sources. Omar, how did we learn about this?
On Friday night, evening, I started hearing from city sources that there could be an investigation into the Fresno Arts Council, specifically about $1.5 million of funds. And specifically, the Fresno Police Department and the FBI are both investigating the nonprofit. I just really want to note, Fresno Arts Council has been around for a long time. It's more than a 45-year-old organization locally in Fresno. And yeah, I think we've been able to see just a huge reaction from community members. Obviously, this is some really tough news. And yeah, I think there are lots of really big questions about what happens next. And also just what even happened in the first place.
And did you reach out to the Fresno Arts Council for comment? Did they respond to you?
Yeah, so it was really definitely unusual. Friday night around 10 p.m., Fresno Arts Council Executive Director Lilia Chavez sent out a press release to media specifically saying, quote, "The Fresno Arts Council has been the victim of unauthorized financial transactions resulting in the loss of agency funds. We have reported this to the proper authorities, including the city, law enforcement, and agency partners. This is a personnel issue that is currently under investigation." Chavez declined to comment and just referred me back to the statement when I chatted with her Saturday morning. And yeah, that's what happened there. Yeah.
Okay. And we're unclear with this $1.5 million, how much of it is public money, specifically Measure P funds? Is that something we're going to learn about more as this case progresses?
Definitely. I think we will know at least when the police investigation concludes. And I think what's really tricky is my understanding, and I actually just heard from the police department today, they received the report of embezzlement on Friday. So if there is an investigation, which there is, it's very early. We don't know exactly any real details about what happened, what the police have found. What we do know at this moment, and I know that there are a lot of unknowns, but I think being clear about what we don't know is also really important because that's going to influence the conversations that we have. And yeah, really all we know is that there's a police investigation. And yeah, that's where we're at.
And then what was the city's reaction?
Yeah, I reached out to city spokesperson a few times, have not gotten any answers from the spokesperson. And really, so far, all I've really got are city sources confirming this information. It's certainly credible. And as of today, like I mentioned, the Fresno Police Department confirmed to me over email that they are investigating the Arts Council and its funds.
Yeah. Okay. Can you talk a little bit about this letter from the city manager, what she said and what it means for Measure P?
Yes. City Manager Georgianne White sent a letter to the council, and it said a few things. On Friday, this letter said that the council's contract to administer a portion of Measure P tax revenue as grants for arts organizations locally, that contract has been terminated. It's effective as of February 20. And essentially, it's my understanding that the city manager can only terminate the contract, and it basically takes place within a 14-day period. The other thing that the letter says is you are to return any city property, any city funds, any documents related to Measure P.
The Arts Council needs to.
Correct. Yeah, the Arts Council needs to. And the other thing is that the Arts Council cannot process any transactions related to Measure P funds as of Friday. Yeah, those are essentially the expectations that the city manager has set for the Arts Council. And it's pretty clear that whatever way Measure P works right now is going to be dramatically impacted moving forward. That's certain.
I feel like, Donnie, over the last couple of years, Arts Council has come up a number of times. We started this podcast right about the time with the Art Hop debacle. And if we've seen process questions about who gets what, how things are released. What's your kind of context picture? What do you think's going on here?
There is a big question about that Omar alluded to around the future of Measure P arts grant making in particular, and the selection of the Arts Council to administer the arts component of the Measure P grants was intentional in the sense that there is a method to the madness when it comes to arts grant making. And although the city is a grant maker in and of its own right, and they have their own grant programs and they disperse money, and the process of contracts is not unfamiliar to the city, and the process of grant making isn't unfamiliar to the city, but the process of developing guidelines and selecting who is worthy of an arts investment is something the city has never really done before.
And I wouldn't trust the city to do that, because how would they have a rubric or an understanding of content area knowledge to be able to select?
I think that's been a big question that people in the arts community have had about the city in terms of, should the city take over this process? Because that has been suggested before, even far before the Arts Council became under scrutiny because of Art Hop, and then the way that the arts grant making process has happened, there was this question about, should the city's parks department take over? And people, longstanding folks in the arts community, have said, no, the Arts Council is the right place to do it.
Yeah. Omar, where do we go from here? So after February 20th, what do you expect to happen?
Yeah, that's a really tough question. I think right now, obviously the council is not administering any more public Measure P grants. And really the question is, who will? And we won't know the answer to that until, per how Measure P is written, there is perhaps a different organization locally in Fresno that is entrusted with administering grants. Because right now, the way it's written, I don't think it allows for the city to administer grants. And yeah, I think there are lots of questions right now about, like, how does that even, what happens next?
Or for the nonprofits that still have outstanding grants that haven't been dispersed, what happens to the rest of the money?
Yeah, my understanding from city sources is that 90% of the first round of grants, those Measure P grants, have been given out to local arts organizations. However, there's that remaining 10% for round one. My understanding is round two actually has not been dispersed yet. And I think there are lots of questions about the arts organizations that depend on that funding. Are we actually going to see organizations left in the lurch because of this situation? They're maybe depending on it for everything from payroll to really any organization's expenses. So yeah, those are some serious questions.
And the embezzlement's not related to the selection process, but people might use this as an opportunity to question the credibility of the selection, who has received which grants. And so it just sounds like at the end of the day, it's our arts that are going to hurt in Fresno as a consequence of this.
And at the core of it is, it's like, sure, there are maybe folks in the city who want to be able to hand out these grants and have full power over them. There are also folks in the community who have just been frustrated with the Fresno Arts Council's process. So even before this report of embezzlement came to light, there were already some serious, I think, frustrations in the community. We saw that spill over just in September, October. I think it's called the Cultural Arts Subcommittee, something close to that, which was essentially deciding in private how to distribute these funds for the second year in a row. And it was community pressure, community frustration that essentially made the committee decide, no, we're going to meet in public now moving forward. And that's serious, that folks were up in arms so much already that the process of a private committee deciding where funds goes, even though it's a committee, subcommittee of the Pratt Commission, I think that there was already lots of frustration, in short, just a few months ago. Yeah.
We're going to transition to talking now about the reaction to another article that Omar had written a few weeks ago about city contracts.
Yeah.
That was a lively podcast that we did about that. It might not sound lively to some of you, but it is lively. It is very lively.
And money is lively.
Money is lively, especially when you spend more than you should be. Omar, what's been the reaction in the wake of your investigation into city contracts?
Yeah. I would say people are talking about a dense, complicated subject way more than you would think. Like, city contracts, not exciting to talk about, but these are local tax dollars that the investigation focuses on. And when it comes to local tax dollars, as we see with Measure P, people really care about that. And I'm glad people do. There has been so much attention on city contracts that the city council voted to approve a reform just about 3 weeks after we published our investigation. And just to talk through some of the reforms, one of the reforms that the Fresno City Council unanimously approved just about 3 weeks after the investigation published, is closing a quote-unquote loophole, which is something that Miguel Arias has called it. Essentially, a council member cannot use pass-through expenses as this exempt category that doesn't have to abide by the city's $100,000 contract threshold. I know that's the most complicated sentence you're probably going to hear on this entire podcast. But essentially, in short, there were some funds that were quote-unquote exempt based off of client, or sorry, I should say based off of attorney, based off of legal advice.
It's like supplies or resources in order to fulfill a contract, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And essentially, that's how Luis Chavez and his office spent more than $30,000 on Facebook ads. They were termed as pass-through expenses, not subject to the city's contracts threshold. And so along with $30,000 in Facebook ads expenses, he also paid Alex Talvin's company $99,999.99 in 2024. And just add those two numbers together.
So normal.
Oh, yeah. You see that? All nines. All nines at every day.
Love that.
But yeah, essentially, there's a loophole that's now been closed. Additionally, the Fresno city clerk is tasked with coming up with a plan to create a whole new transparency page on the city of Fresno's website. I'm really curious what that's going to look like, and we should hear soon about what that plan looks like. This website would feature all contracts worth less than $100,000, and it would also feature everything from conflict of interest forms that city officials have to file. It would also feature behested payments, essentially lots of documents that city officials already fill out and they're required to. And this would be a all-in-one place to essentially take a look at these documents. Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully it's better than that mind-numbingly obtuse. What was the system you had to look through in order to find the contracts issue?
Yeah, the city contracts database. Yes. Yeah, it took hours and hours. Yes. Hours to look through that one. Yeah.
Because their transparency is great, but if it's not accessible, it's not truly transparency.
Imagine going through 3,000 contracts and you don't even know the amount until a web page loads after 10 seconds.
Omar has some really strong opinions about website loading.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, there was this thing, Omar, that we had once called dial-up. It would slowly turn on. And then, yeah, I remember, I think I waited for a web page for 10 minutes once.
That's like a form of torture that I wouldn't recommend. Totally yeah. Not. But anyways, investigative reporting at work.
Yes. Yeah. And impact, like not the exact impact that Councilmember Miguel Arias promised, which I think is really important to highlight. There is definitely an asterisk on the reforms that he got through that were passed unanimously after more than an hour of debate. But yeah, certainly some reform. And Arias has told me that he plans on bringing forward more resolutions to amend city policy. I'll be sharing more about that if that happens. But yeah, I think so much of this comes down to eyes on city government and making sure they come through on promises. That's so key to what we're able to do as reporters.
Yeah. I think we need to celebrate marginal steps in the right direction.
It is Fresno.
Sometimes you can get a little cynical, but I think it's important to any step in a direction of transparency is a good thing.
And now we're going to switch gears, and we have Giselle Medina, our religion and immigration and culture reporter. Welcome, Giselle.
Thank you for having me.
And we're going to talk about a story that you published a little over a week ago about a lawsuit that has been filed over licenses for truck drivers. Could you elaborate on what the lawsuit is?
Yeah. So the lawsuit was filed in Alameda County by the Sikh Coalition, the Asian Law Caucus, and the law firm Will Gottschall and Manges. And it was on behalf of the Jakara Movement and five anonymous immigrant commercial drivers. And the lawsuit basically says that the DMV, the California DMV, began to send cancellation notices on November 6th to immigrant commercial drivers whose licenses had expiration dates that did not match their federal work authorization documents. And so more than like 17,000 drivers were told that their licenses would be canceled on January 5th, with another like 2,700 notified in December that their licenses would be revoked in mid-February. Advocates said that many of those drivers had valid work permits or never needed or were never given a chance to update their records. It turned out that it was just like a DMV system error. But there's still, the lawsuit was filed in December, and recently representatives of the Jacara movement gathered at the Modern Truck parking lot in Northwest Fresno to just share updates about the case.
And how this is going to affect the trucking industry. How will it affect the trucking industry specifically here in Fresno?
Yeah, so because there is not, the lawsuit alleges that immigrant commercial drivers haven't gotten a clear answer as to what's going to happen. And so a lot are in this limbo of either they're not driving for work purposes their trucks because they're waiting to see what's going to happen next. And that means that because workers are not working, that impacts their pay and their families and like just their livelihood in general.
Connect the dots for us how this connects to what we're seeing across the country, which is very aggressive immigration crackdowns by the Trump administration. How do these dots connect?
Yeah, absolutely. During the presser, the Jacara movement representatives shared that like an estimate as many as 5,000 drivers in Fresno County received these notices. That would be like around 15 out of 15,000 drivers who like are throughout living in the central San Joaquin Valley. And there's just, this has been like a separate thing. And then there's also been just federal actions that have also impacted immigrant drivers here in Fresno County and in general. There was this weird issue where like in November, a federal audit was done by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration that found that these commercial licenses issued to immigrants in California were set to expire. And like it was just this back and forth. And then 3 days later, California stopped issuing and renewing the non-domicile licenses to comply with new federal rules that narrowed the eligibility to specific visa types. So like H-2A, H-2B, E-2, and that would lead to the planned cancellation of these licenses. And because of these kind of more stricter federal rules, that's also now leading to less people being able to renew their commercial licenses or even just get commercial licenses in general.
Wow. Yeah. That's going to have a big impact on the state, especially in the Central Valley, where logistics is one of our primary industries. Mm-hmm. And another case of the federal government using and flexing its bureaucracy to try and subvert immigrants' lives and their capacity to go to work. We conclude these podcasts each week with what we're loving this week. I'm going to go ahead and start. So we had Bonito Bowl last weekend, as you all know, where we got to watch Bad Bunny. We also got to watch some football as well. And I had a party at my house, and people were milling about for the first two quarters, as was I, to be honest. I like football, and I was bored. So I couldn't imagine.
It was such a boring game.
It was a boring game. I think it was only field goals by half. And so I was trying to keep people awake for the halftime show, which I actually didn't need to do. As soon as the halftime show turned on, there's probably 30 people at my house. They all like congregated as close to the TV as humanly possible, which was fantastic. Donnie, what are you loving?
As I got very sick over the last few weeks and it took me out for a bit. And so I got a lot of time to reflect on my couch to watch Severance. Finally watched Severance.
So from start to finish.
Don't spoil because I haven't seen it. I'm super late to the
game. But you're going to watch it?
Yes, I will. I promise. Everyone's bugging me.
I will not spoil it for you, except, oh my God, it was...
It's so good. I know.
If Donnie would attempt to spoil it, that would be a whole nother podcast episode because it's so complicated.
It is very complicated.
So for you, what do you love about the show? What caught you?
It's very slow, so it takes a little bit to get into it. I don't know. I love...
You love the kind of like the pastiche of the show? Like the...
The aesthetics are so good. Are good. And the aesthetics are part of the draw. But a lot of it is also just like exploring the concept of severance and that people would willingly undergo a procedure, basically brain surgery, so that they could forget their work life. And I'm a person who has learned over the course of my career, partially because of the work that I do, to keep really hard boundaries between my work life and my personal life. So much so that my husband watched the finale and he was like, oh, you're severed, just like they are.
Oh. Wow. That's a shot across the bow.
It was a shot. We're going to have to take that to a therapist later. But anyways, but it's an interesting concept to explore on how people have to feel the need to build like a separate persona at work to be able to do their job. I am the same person at work as I am at home. I'm just more chill at home than I am at work for the most part.
I would confirm that.
Yeah. You've probably seen how messy my house is.
No. But there is a lot of fun at Donnie's house, including buying lemonade from a lemonade stand, which is delivered to my house before.
I buy lemonade from a lemonade stand.
Kids every weekend. They're here for your money, man. They want to buy a 3D printer, and so this is...
Oh, I'm 100% going to invest in that. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Donnie's awesome. Son was very helpful because he drew the 3D printer on the cash jar so you could see what your money was going in it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Really encouraged me to tip.
Good businessman.
Good job.
Giselle, what are you loving this week?
I'll have to say the halftime show was just... That's the only reason I tuned into football every year. I'm a sports person. I love basketball. I love soccer. I love baseball. Football. But it was beautiful to see one Latino representation just so beautifully done with Bad Bunny and his performance, but also the queer representation, like having Lady Gaga.
Yeah, what did you think about the Lady Gaga?
Oh, it was fantastic. She sang that song that she sings with Bruno Mars, which made me think that Bruno Mars is going to come up out of nowhere.
I know. I'm hoping for that.
That was a total bait and switch.
But then they gave us Ricky Martin.
Yeah, they did.
And they also gave us Pedro Pascal, like, dancing.
Just on the side.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah, I had to do a double take. It was great. But no, just seeing, like, little snippets of queer representation from people dancing together to get Lady Gaga singing. It was just beautiful to see. And I love just every year, like, picking apart performances and, like, thinking about it and why it's so relevant today. So.
Yeah, it is the Bad Bunny week, that's for sure. Yes. So.
Yes. Week of the Bunny.
Yes. Week of the Bunny.
This has been Fresnolandia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom. And this podcast was recorded at Sun Stereo Warehouse in downtown Fresno. Audio editing and mixing was done by Jordan Maddox. Our lead image comes from Vaughn Ballinan. And our song comes from Stateless Rat.